As I've shared this sermon written by Barbara Shawn, I'm going to read it, try and embellish it as she had did this morning at Jefferson Avenue with a little bit. You need to know that her dad, she has a southern accent. She's a little shorter, so I'll hang down a little. Well, maybe I won't. All right. I would kill my knees. But her daddy's from Texas, and when she was a little girl, she and her sister were there, and her daddy came in and says, "I want you girls to know," she says, "I'm struggling with the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord might be calling me to go into the ministry." They were active in a Southern Baptist church, and he felt he was feeling a calling to serve, and perhaps as ordained preacher. And he says, "If we do that," he said, we'll have to get up and move around. He said, "We might get sent different places. We might get all kinds of things. Our schedules will be changed some, and our lives will be changed." He said, "But I'm going to listen for the word of the Lord to see what I need to do." And after a while, a couple days later, he came back and he says, "The Lord spoke to me and said, I can serve as well from the pew as I can from the pulpit." Amen. Amen and amen. And this is not in Barbara's sermon, but I have met several clergy. One who quit being a ordained clergyman because he said, "There's more I can do not being ordained." So give some thought to that. Sometimes you think, oh. At any rate, he said, I'm going to remain a fireman. And he was a fireman for many, many years. But he was active in the church, and Barbara was active in the church, and she grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. And she said, in those day and age, they didn't have seasonal colors. They didn't have any of these pyramids. They didn't have Advent. And they didn't have Lent. And she said, she's been so pleased to find that gradually things have changed. Now, she married her husband. He was a Roman Catholic. So they had to find a middle meeting ground, and they have been able to do that. I believe he's Lutheran. But she's served all over. I don't know where all. She mentioned Utah. She mentioned the Episcopalian Church. So she has served in many places in her ministry as an organist, but as a Christian, serving from the pew. Let me begin with her words. "I'm a big old fan of the Andy Griffith Show with Sheriff Andy, Opie, Barney, and Aunt Bee. You ever remember the Andy Griffith Show? Especially in the early years, Andy often told stories to Opie and the kids about the Minutemen and Jack the Giant Killer and King Arthur. And invariably, at one point or another, when he paused to heighten the suspense, Barney, with big old eyes, would jump up and say, 'And then what happened?'" I think that's a good way to go through life, with anticipation of what will happen next. As everyone knows, Lent began this week with Ash Wednesday. I was grown up and married before I attended a church that talked about Advent. Oh, what a beautiful tradition. One which I have grown to love. Except those traditionalists that don't allow singing of Christmas carols during Advent. She ad-libbed a little there, and she says, "There's only three good Advent hymns," she says, "and that's to hold you through the whole season. It doesn't work." Back to her words. "My grandmother used to say, 'If I'd only known Christmas is coming, I'd have gotten ready for it.'" Advent helps us to realize that Christmas is coming. In the very best tradition of Christmas, Christmas is coming. The Christ is coming. Let's get ready to welcome him into our homes, into our businesses, into our lives. And then what happened? Along comes the more troubling case of Lent. She says, "I did some research online and found some very contradictory information about Lent. Some people just proclaiming it as blasphemy. Others seeing it as a time to honor the sacrifice of Jesus. Growing up in the Baptist church as I did, Lent seldom entered my mind. Even after I began worshiping in church that recognized the Lenten season, it didn't impact me much unless it impacted selected music for the church. But in 1996, my sister had a brain aneurysm on Monday, Thursday, and died on Holy Saturday. Since that time, Lent has been for me a time of remembrance and a time of reflection of God's willingness to offer His own Son to live and die for me. And I think for many people, Lent is a solemn time during which prayer and fasting is encouraged and focused on. And to focus on the suffering Jesus endured is heightened. And then what happened? Let's consider Jesus' life and the verses that were read from Mark. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove, and God himself affirming, "You are my son, and I am well pleased." Barbara ad-libbed a little there too. She said, "How many times have you as parents introduced your children and said, 'This is my son or daughter in whom I am well pleased'? How many times as kids were we introduced by our parents and saying, 'This is my son. This is my daughter. These are my lovely children'?" Think about how that felt. Think about that affirmation. After spending several months gathering his disciples around him and following in John's footsteps, now a public ceremony and affirmation from God himself. And then what happened? At once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was there 40 days and nights being tempted by Satan. Wow, talk about a coming down. From the Spirit descending like a dove and God affirming that you are his son and he is pleased, then right out in the desert for 40 days and nights. And that's a long time. And that's when Satan often comes to us, right after victory, right after great service, a great piece of music that speaks to us. So we've got Jesus in the desert. And then what happened? Satan tempted him with the ways. Satan tempted him in the same ways that we are tempted. The temptation to impress, the temptation to possess, the temptation to indulge. Impress. Jump off the highest point of the temple and let the angels rescue you. Wow, will people be impressed? Use your power to impress people. Use your gifts and graces to impress people. Temptation to possess. Look at all of the kingdoms of the world and all this wealth. It is yours if you worship me, says the tempter. Use your power to possess. The temptation to indulge. Hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. Hungry. Just turn this stone into bread and eat your fill. Use your power to satisfy your own human needs. Use your power to indulge. Satan never underestimated Jesus' power, and neither should we. He knew that Jesus was still God and had this much power. But he thought that as a man he could be tempted. And isn't that exactly how we are tempted? Maybe this isn't the job that God is leading me to, but boy, oh boy, it will sure look good on my resume. I really can't afford that car, but just look how cool I'll look in it. People will be really impressed. Okay, so I may have to look the other way at work when some things are going on. But look at the financial report if I go along with the team and think how much more money I'll make. And then I can do so many things with that money. I know I shouldn't do this thing that could be harmful to my body. But you know, I'm only human and I really want it. And then what happened? Jesus resists all temptations by the word of God. The most perfect example of why we need to read and study God's word. So we have a way to resist temptation. So we can give an answer to anyone who asks us about our faith. So we can rely on something to rely on in times of stress. Jesus is on top of the world again. He is passed this stringent test. Now think back to the temptations of Jesus that we read. In the Matthew passage, the last verse says, "Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him." Isn't that a beautiful image? But in Luke's account, the last verse says, When the devil had finished all tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The devil wasn't finished tempting him, but he was looking for another opportune time. And the devil looks for opportune times to tempt us when we're really tired, when we're really hungry, when we're really lonely or sad or depressed, when we've had the flu. And then what happened? As soon as Jesus returned to town, he learned that John the Baptist was in prison, and he knew his time had come. The scripture says he went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. His public ministry has begun. It could be said that the days in the wilderness prepared him for Satan's temptation, and both of those things prepared him to being his earthly ministry. So there's a reason for the wilderness. There's a reason for a temptation. There's a reason for Lent. Our lives are not on a steady course. There are ups and downs. Amen? Times when things are rosy, times when they're not. The example of Jesus shows us that whether it's an up time or a down time, we keep moving forward. Our public ministry has begun. Our public ministry has begun. Jesus was always focused on his ultimate destination, the cross. And we need to stay focused on our ultimate destination, eternal life with him. And then what happened? Lent happened. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness prepared him to begin his public ministry. And our 40 days of Lent can prepare us for our ministry. Our ministry. If we believe we are already doing ministry, then use Lent to renew your commitment to your ministry. If you don't really have a ministry at home, at work, or in the world, then use Lent to ask God to show you how you can minister to those with whom you come into contact. If we look at Lent as preparation, it can be as uplifting and as exciting a time as Advent. And the final result is the same. At the end of time, it's all about Jesus. Barbara Shaw, amen.